Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Revelations chapter 12. Now, I don't want to get into eschatology here. I don't want to preach on end time events, on how people think it's all going to pan out. I think there's 500 different theories, and that's all they are, theories, of how everything goes down in the end. However, I believe that there are principles in here. Let me just say this. There is stuff in Revelation that will happen in the end days that also are happening now. Peter told us that we're in the end times. We're in the last days right now. He prophesied it on the day of Pentecost. He said, like it was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, these things will happen, and now you see it happening. So we've already entered into the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years now. Right? It's a very long last days. So you say, no, that's for the last, okay, there's the great day, and then there's the last days, and there's all kind of days, okay? Now, some of the stuff in the book of Revelation could be three chapters that plays out over 2,000 years. I mean, three verses that play out over 2,000 years. Other things in the book of Revelation were a one-time deal. Some are in the future. Some, many, have already been fulfilled. It is what it is. When you read the book of Revelation, you got to understand it's not in chronological order. Okay? In the spirit realm, if you've ever gotten, if God's ever spoken to you, which I hope he has, each and every one of you, and if he hasn't, you need to really ask him, Lord, you know, I want to hear you talking to me, because as a believer, as a human, that's your right to hear your Father. But when you hear God, sometimes God will speak to you, and it's so clear, like you know it perfectly, and you're like, oh my gosh, God just said to me. He said, well, basically, he said something like when he spoke it was perfectly clear. But when you try to tell somebody what he said, like, you don't have the right words for it. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? You're like, I don't know how to, because he's spirit. And he just drops understanding into your spirit. He didn't have to use words. Now, we process understanding through words, but he didn't actually use words. He just downloaded it into your spirit. God is spirit. He spoke to your spirit, man. And so now you're trying to get this spiritual thing through your soul and out through your flesh. And you're like, okay, I knew what he meant. That's all I can tell you. I knew what he meant. Right? And so when things happen in the spirit realm, and you know, whether or not you're aware of it, there is a spirit realm, and when things happen in the spirit realm, it's all, you know, there's no time in the spirit realm. You know, God is outside of time. Sarah, did you know God is outside of time? Okay. Isaac, God is outside of time. Did you know that? Okay. God is outside of time. Did you know that? And so when you enter into God's realm, things aren't all in chronological order. When you get to heaven, it's not like you're going to be at year, you know, 40 billion and 7 in heaven. They're like, oh, you should have been here back when David was dancing. Oh, you missed it, though. I believe when we get to heaven, I'm going to get to just come back. I'll get to visit the service. I'll see what you were texting when you acted like you were taking notes. I always find it funny when I leave here and I kind of look at Instagram and I see people were liking pictures on Instagram. I'm like, wasn't I preaching right at that moment? I thought I had a good message too, and apparently just, but I'm going to be in here, I'm just going to drop in on this meeting, and I'll know which of you are really devoted to the Word of God. And no, but I believe when we get to heaven, it's, you know, we're outside of time, and so we're just going to get to look at whatever we want to look at. We're just going to be able to see everything. I believe the knowledge of God is just going to be in the air, and so it's not like this progressive learning. It's just in the air. Are you with me? And so John the Revelator, and it's important to understand this when you read the Bible, because these guys who get these really crazy spiritual experiences, they're experiencing something they don't know how to process. And I saw a wheel, and the wheel was inside of a wheel. Like, what does that mean? I don't know. It would have made sense to me. This is in the spirit realm. He's got no grid for this thing. You with me here? And so as we study the book of Revelation, it's really easy to, this is just like a little primer, that's all right. It's easy to read this book through the lens of Americans in 2013. And we just kind of, like, oh, he's talking about this. That must be Iran, and this must be America, and that must be Russia. You know, they do that all the time, and they're always wrong. How many of you are old enough to remember when Gorbachev was the Antichrist? Yeah, they're like, what? Who's Gorbachev? Is that a frozen pizza? No, that's a... He was the leader of the Soviet Union way back in the day, and he was the Antichrist, supposedly. And since then, we've had 500 more of the Antichrist that's going to come. And because we want to view this Bible through us, okay? So there's things in here that we could have a religious frame, and it's just not really what they're talking about. Okay, I just burned through 4 minutes on that explanation. So if you don't read the book of Revelation, I've just wasted my time, okay? So just read the book of Revelation with that in mind, all right? Is that... I'm going to say one more thing. Is that okay? It's my time, right? You're like, you got 27 minutes. Do what you want. I'll start texting in 28. It's really God's desire that you read this book and you know God better. That's the whole point of this book. Did you know that? We're to read this book. The point of this book isn't to be confused. And it's not to memorize more of this book. That's not the point of the book. The book was not written like a homework assignment. It's not like God said, you know what? I'm going to save them, and they're going to be bored. They're not going to have anything to do, and I knew what I'd do. I'll write a very long book, and I'll challenge them to memorize it. It's like, remember when you were in school, and you'd have a substitute come in, and then they give you these papers to do, and you're like, this has nothing to do with our assignment. Busy work to keep you busy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible is not busy work to be memorized. You know, they say, Jesus is coming, look busy. You know, no, that's not the point of the book. You want to go out and we're going to go ahead? No, I can't go fellowship. I have to memorize the book. But if you memorize the book, it should point you toward the God and him wanting you to have fellowship with people. I have no time for that. I got to study the book. Okay. I read the book. I can't like you. That was the point of the book. Anyway, so as you read this Bible, and if you don't understand stuff, here's what I like to do. You ready? You read it and sometimes don't know what you're reading? Yeah? You know who wrote this? The Holy Ghost. Hey, Mike, did you know the Holy Ghost wrote this, Mike? Yeah, okay, that's good. So the Holy Ghost wrote this book, right? He inspired, and the Bible says that they wrote it as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, yeah? This is simple stuff. I'm not tricking you. I promise you. These aren't trick questions at all. So as you're reading the book that he wrote, he's right there with you. The author of the book is next to you. You can be like, what are you talking about right here, Holy Ghost? Can you just let me know? And he'll talk to you. Don't read stuff and be like, I don't know what that meant. Let me just move on. And don't say, I can't read that book. I don't know what he's talking about. That's a problem. You know, I'm going to read that book. I'm going to understand it. And I got the author right there next to me. People email me prophecies, and I'll email them back. I have no idea what you're talking about here. Can you please let me know what you're talking about? I don't say, well, I don't know what that meant, so I'll just ignore it. Did you read that prophecy? Yeah. Yep, I didn't understand it, so I threw it away. Hurt, you know? Like, no. That's Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, what do you... And oftentimes, when you're reading the Bible and you get stuck on something or it sticks out that you don't understand it, that's God trying to talk to you. Recognize that. Man, he's trying to talk to me, and I'm not understanding it right now. Holy Spirit, can you show me? And then he'll just begin to talk to you, and you'll get pretty excited about Jesus. Amen? So here we are in the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 12, and it talks about the fall of Satan to the earth. And I'm not going to get into the big picture here. But we see that it says in verse 10, there was a loud voice in heaven saying that salvation and power, the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come. And then verse 11, and here's what I really want to highlight right now. There is a devil. You know that, yes? There's a real God and there's a real devil. God is for you. The devil is against you. You got to understand that. God is for you. Tell yourself, God is for me. The devil is not. All right? God is for me. You got to just tell the voices in your head sometimes, no, God is for me. God is for me. Amen. And so we see this. It says in verse 11, it talks about talks about the saints, talks about us. It says, and they have conquered the devil. They have conquered him. They have conquered this beast, the dragon. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. And verse 12 says, therefore rejoice. Therefore rejoice. Father, we love you. I thank you today. We pray that you will bless the reading of your word and that you will enlighten the people of this house on how to get victory in every area of their life, that they could come into the fullness of the knowledge of Christ and they can fulfill their purpose on the earth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I just want to briefly talk to you in the next 21 minutes about how you come into victory in every area of your life. How do you come into victory, the prosperous life, the overcoming life that Jesus Christ has for you on the earth? It's a good message. It's the greatest message ever told. And the writer, John the Revelator, he writes in here, he sees this thing in heaven, and he gets this full technicolor picture of how the saints overcome the enemy. God, he defeated the devil a long time ago, okay? There is no battle right now in between good and evil. Evil got beat really bad instantly. Satan rose up, and God was like, yeah, I don't think so. And he cast him to the earth. It was just like that. It was like, really? And that was it. That was right. That's all there was. There wasn't a big, oh, I don't know if I can fight him. I'm going to, oh, no, I hope one of the angels come and helps me. And, oh, I hope Johnny doesn't look at that bad movie because then I'm defeated. No, it wasn't that. Okay, your struggles don't affect God and his victory. Okay? He's always been winning. He will always win. There's never been a fight for God. That's why we call him God. He is the God. The devil is a very small devil. But we see here there's a picture of how Satan fell to the earth, and John the Revelator got to see the whole sacrifice of Christ, and he got to see the victory that people have through it, and he saw how we get to have this victory, this overcoming victory over the enemy. And I'm going to try to expound on it quickly in the next 20 minutes and tell you how you come into victory in every area of your life. All right? This is going to be good. If you write down some of this stuff, you take notes and you apply it to your life, you'll see good things happening. Amen? The first thing that he saw was, he says, in heaven, he saw, he says, that they have been conquered the enemy. I want you to see this first part, this first phrase in Revelation 12, 11. It says, I've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? Well, we know that Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. He was the sacrifice of God for mankind. Now, This blood being for our sacrifice is kind of an Old Testament concept. If we go all the way back to the law, back in Leviticus chapter 17, we see even at the very beginning of God explaining to people how this whole sacrificial system will work, we see he says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is by the blood that makes atonement. By the life. Atonement is a made-up word. There was no word in English for that concept. And so put that scripture back up real quick, if you would, please. And if you see, the word atonement literally was made up by men, and it says, at one moment, at atonement, at one moment. What that means is, in an instant phrase, you become one with God. They didn't have an English word for that. Atonement. They had to make it up when they translated the Bible into English. And this atonement, back in Old Testament times, it said that your soul would be atoned by the sacrifice of these animals. And it is in their blood, it is in the shedding of their blood that you had to sacrifice them. You never see in the Old Testament that you had to crush them to death or strangle them to death. There had to be a cutting because the blood had to be released. Because the life is in the blood. So all the way back in Old Testament times, what they said was, you're supposed to be punished because you did things that were wrong. You deserve to be punished. Now, someone has to be punished. And God said, don't do bad things. If you do bad things, you're supposed to be punished. And they say, okay. He says, but when you do bad things, because I know that y'all can't do nothing right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a system that something else will take the punishment for you. Now, he set all that up through all of history so that we would recognize the sacrifice of Jesus. That was always his plan. It was always his plan to bring Jesus. So all through this foreshadowing of what Christ would do, he says, these animals, all the way back in Leviticus chapter 17, he was teaching the people of the earth that the life is in the blood. When we sacrifice an animal, its blood is shed instead of ours. It's that blood that gets our soul in the right relationship with God. And that's what he says there. Now, we know the Bible tells us that the blood of rams and goats cannot wash away sin. They can only cover sin. It is only the blood of Jesus that washes sin away. So if you notice here in Leviticus, that blood that gets shed, all it can do is affect your soul. It can't cleanse your spirit. Your spirit man outside of Christ is dead. You have no relationship with God. Now, you may, through God's compassion and kindness, be doing good works for you, drawing you to him. But without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have no relationship with God. We have no relationship with God because our spirit man is not quickened. It's dead. And so at the very beginning of John the Revelator, what he's talking about here, what he sees is he says, I see in heaven that there's these people and they're sinful and the enemy is overcoming them and they're being dominated by this destroyer. But then they overcame him. How? With knives, with guns, with missiles? No, with the blood of the Lamb. It's the spotless. But see, wherever there is sin and sickness, the enemy can go. Wherever there is sin, the devil has authority. Wherever there is sin, devil has authority. Well, I don't understand why the enemy is attacking me so much. Well, tell me about your life. Because the enemy can go, well, I'm a Christian. The devil has no power over me. Well, then why are you sinning? If he had no power over you, you would be living the life you're created to be living, worshiping God, living in righteousness. Jesus modeled for us what God's perfect will is for our lives. He modeled that for us. He modeled that sin had no dominion over him. Sin had no power over him. He never once walked in rebellion. He never once was in sickness. All he did was he walked around spreading the kingdom of God. And it is that perfect life, the life of Jesus Christ, who lived without sin, without spot or wrinkle. There was nothing wrong with Jesus. Everything he did was perfect. He was perfectly pleasing in his Father's sight. He only did what he saw his Father doing. He only said what he heard his Father saying. And he was sacrificed, and his blood was shed on the cross. That's a far better sacrifice than ram and goats. Before they could sacrifice a ram or a goat or a sheep, they had to inspect it, and it had to be perfect. And as a matter of fact, the priests had to inspect it to verify that there was nothing wrong with it. They had to look it over, and they had to give like a Levitical certificate saying there's nothing wrong with this. This is a perfect sacrifice. Now, man, hear me, man can only look at the outer things. And so these animals could only cover the outer issues, the sins of the flesh. That's all they could do. Now, Jesus Christ, he searches the inner things. He searches the heart of man. And so his perfect sacrifice, since he wasn't only perfect on the outside, he was perfect on the inside. He was filled with grace and truth. He is love. He is the way. He is the life. And his sacrifice not only washes away our sins, but it converts the inner man. And it is his blood that not only cleanses me of the physical sins that I've committed, but also, the Bible says, sprinkles my conscience under perfection. You know, it sprinkles my conscience, even making my thought life pure. This is good news. And let me tell you why this is so important. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. What that means is you can never be good enough or fight the war well enough to overcome the devil on your own. You can't do it. You say, I can't defeat him. No, you weren't created to defeat him. Jesus was created to defeat the devil. And then we were created to come into Jesus' victory so that we can walk in the victory that Jesus earned for us. That's our inheritance as Christians. Just as believers in Christ. I mean, we had these Old Testament saints. They had nothing. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the empowering of the Spirit. They didn't have impartation. They didn't have tongues and prophecy. All they had was just a prophet will give the word, you know, I'm going to kill you all if you don't stop. And then they had to have the bloodbath and the altar, and then that's all they had. Yet they were the people of God. We, more so, covered in his perfect blood, washed, cleansed, purified by Jesus. We get to walk in this victory just by faith in Christ. So when we want to overcome the sickness and disease and the depression and the hurt and the pain and the frailties of the human condition, you can't do it on your own, because if you could do it on your own, they would need all these psychotropic drugs and they wouldn't need the antidepressants and they wouldn't need all this. People wouldn't become billionaires with their self-help books. It wouldn't be possible if you could do it on your own. I mean, why would a self-help person need to publish a dozen books? What was wrong with the first one? Because what you're teaching doesn't work. You always got to come back for more. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? You got to keep coming back for more. If your first book was so good, why write a second one? Why are you still selling the first one? Because they don't have all the answers. God has all the answers. And you start your victory by the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb over every area of your life. Oh, good Lord. It's probably not going to be a 30-minute message. Sorry. Let me give you real quick. Were you able to put that together back there? Yeah? Don't put it up yet. I'm going to rush through this very quickly. When you're covered in the blood of the Lamb, we're still on point number one, by the way. When you're covered in the blood of the Lamb, you have victory over the works of the devil. You have victory over the works of darkness. There is a spiritual authority in Christ that not only sanctifies your flesh, but it sanctifies your spirit man. Right? It's supposed to close all the bad doors and only open good doors spiritually for you. You see, there's a spirit realm. Anybody can enter into it. If you go through anything other than Christ Jesus, you're a thief and a robber. Witchcraft, right? And people, they're doing spells. And all witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. That's what it is, counterfeit spiritual authority. And I put together a little bit of a list, are the fruit of this counterfeit spiritual authority. You got that for me up there? Here it comes. I feel it. Pray in the Holy Ghost, everybody. All right. So here's a little list right here that you'll know when you're under maybe an attack of counterfeit spiritual authority. Now, here's my point to this. As humans, we can start to look at, we can get so inward focused. We can get so focused on ourselves. We can just think, I'm so terrible. I'm getting everything wrong. You know, everything you do in your life that's good isn't all necessarily you. Like some of you, you're doing well you did well in school because your parents were very active in your schooling. And so you can take credit for getting good grades, but really your parents deserve some of the credit. But just because you have better parents, you did better in school. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you, your parents were well off, so you got to go to better schools, so your life just turned out better, right? You know, or we know people like that. Maybe nobody in this room, but we know people. We know people who have parents had better money, so they lived in better neighborhoods, so they went to better schools, so their life turned out a little better, right? You can't necessarily take credit for that going really well in your life, right? At the same time, some of you haven't done real well in life because you didn't get a good start. And that's not necessarily your fault. But you got to get involved in getting over that not great start. You're not a victim of that. And so sometimes when you're just walking with Christ, come on. Well, sometimes when you're walking with Christ and stuff is just going bad and you can get all beat up on yourself. Oh, I'm getting it wrong. I can't even go to church because I did this thing. I yelled at that person again and this is happening. And blah, 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 blah. Sometimes it's not you. It's the devil attacking you. It's just an attack of the wicked one. I put together a little list right here of some of the fruit of this warfare, this witchcraft, this counterfeit spiritual authority whispering lies in your head. You ready for this list? We got discouragement, confusion, depression, loss of vision, meaning you knew where you were going at one point, but now you don't know. You don't know where you're going. Disorientation, withdrawal, despair, just feeling defeated. You just can't get victory. Just, Like you're walking in a funk. Like the whole world is a dark fog that you can't walk through. Anybody, when you start seeing a group of those together, when you start seeing, like, you know, everybody gets a little, we feel a little defeated at times. We all feel a little discouraged at times. But when you start seeing four or five of these at the same time, at some point you just got to learn to be able to say, man, this ain't me. This isn't me. This isn't who I am. This isn't that I've been washed in the blood. This is something else rising up. And I'm not going to be under this any longer. I'm not going to be under this. What you want to do is you want to find out where you open the door to the enemy, if it was you, and you close it. You plead the blood, and you move on with your life. I have found that unforgiveness and judgment are the two easiest ways to open doors to these things in your life. Unforgiveness and judgment are the easiest ways to get these things at work in your life right here. Because when you don't give grace to other people, you don't get grace. Oh, well, he doesn't deserve it. Well, you don't either. Guess what? All right, I got 6 minutes, but I feel like these 6 minutes aren't really going to be 6 minutes. Maybe it's just me. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. That's Galatians 5:22. And so when you're seeing these things at work in your life, okay, now you know I'm operating in the right spirit. There isn't this counterfeit spirit coming against me. And I believe some people are going to get set free of witchcraft in the waters of baptism today. Just want to put that out there. It's the whole reason we're talking about that, because there's I don't want to scare anybody. There's Pentecostal witchcraft. That's when spirit-filled people curse you, which leads into my second thing here. It says, we overcame with the blood of the Lamb. Number two, you ready for number two? I'm going to go very quickly in two of them here. And the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It wasn't just that they got saved. It's that they begin to get involved in what God is doing on the earth. The easiest way to operate in the supernatural. Are you ready? Does anybody want to operate in the supernatural? Anybody want to operate? See, the natural mind is carnal. The natural mind does what the flesh wants to do, what the enemy wants to do. The natural mind just goes along with whatever the power of this age wants to happen. The supernatural mind does what's counter to the power of this age. If you want to operate in the supernatural, let me tell you the easiest way to operate, to begin to operate in the supernatural. Are you ready? The word of your testimony. You begin to talk about what Jesus Christ has done and what God is doing on the earth. I'm scared to tell people my testimony. Why do you think that is? Because my Bible says God is not the author of fear. He's not the author of confusion. He's not that. There is no spirit of fear in God. You say, well, when I think about doing that, I get fearful. Okay, yeah, we call that the attack of the devil. He does not want you to do that. And the easiest way to get involved in the supernatural is to do the thing that heaven wants to have happen, that the natural realm does not want to have happen, and that is begin to declare what God has done and what he is doing. Witchcraft, okay, it's the effort. Okay, when people get involved, the Bible tells us that gossip is witchcraft. Because what we want to do is we want to control other people's emotions in a negative way. That's not a blessing. It's a curse. When you curse people, it's witchcraft. It's not necessarily a witch, you know, stirring and stirring and stirring my brew. We used to sing that in elementary school. I can't believe that. Not my kids. Y'all ever sing that in elementary school? We did. Stirring and stirring and stirring my brew. Ooh, what kind of demonic nonsense is that? Good Lord, I'd have burnt the school down if they tried to have my kids do that. But that's not me. I didn't say that. I'm going to take a drink over here. Who said that? Gosh, repent. Proverbs 18:21, back to the word of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Those who love what? Those who love it will eat of its fruits. Love what? Death or life? You choose. You choose. If you like to gossip, and you like to talk bad about people, and you like to make people think other people bad things about them, then you love death. And guess what? You get to eat of that fruit. Let me give you a little insight into the human nature. If someone is gossiping to you, they're gossiping about you. Because I don't know if you know this, but gossip. But we in our pride, we think, no, I'm special. They wouldn't gossip about me. Oh, I'm way above that. Yeah, pride has got you. It's got you. Witchcraft is an effort to bring people down to your level. That's what it is. I speak negatively about other people because I don't want you to think greater of them than you do of me. And so what I want you to do is I want to bring them down to my level. The opposite of that, of course, is impartation. In what we believe in impartation, laying on of hands, is getting everybody up. Wherever I am in Christ, I want you to come where I'm at. Anything I've received, I want you to get. I'm not saying I'm above you, but I'm saying if I have anything, I want you to have it as well. Any good in my life that someone might exalt me because of that, whatever I have in my life, whatever someone may look up to me for, I want you to have it. I want you to have all that I have. I want you to have more of it. That's impartation. That's the exact opposite of witchcraft. You got to be hungry for impartation. If you're hungry for impartation and you operate in a life of generosity where you just give, that's just who you are, is to give away what you have. You have extra food, you have food, you give away money, you give away blessings. The best thing for you to give away, yet is so hard for people, is you just give away blessings. Just speak well of people around you. Just tell people good things about the people that you know. Just start giving out life and you'll begin to eat the fruit of it. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, not the blood of the Lamb only, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, what happened in the spirit realms, in the spirit realm, I need it in the natural realm. I don't need this teaching that, you know, no, we're already victors in Christ. All our sin has been dealt with. Okay, but how do I stop sinning? No, you don't sin anymore. It's all covered. Okay, my wife doesn't think I stopped sinning. No, honey, why are you mad at me? I'm just sitting on the couch while you're doing all the work, you know. Could you stop being lazy? No, Jesus conquered laziness. They're theologies that are removed from reality. No, God, Jesus came in the flesh for a reason. He didn't come in the spirit. Your victory should be in the flesh, in this life, in the people around you. And so what's happened in the spirit realm with Christ Jesus, we want in the natural realm. The easiest way we bridge that gap is with our words. The enemy wants power over this realm. The easiest way for the enemy to do that is with our words. You with me? So they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, word of the testimony. Number three, man, I'm booking along here. I'm almost done. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Did I say I'm going to finish in Eastern time or did I say Central? I don't. They did not love their lives even unto death. What does that mean? We talked about this Friday night. That Saturday night, Corey Pagano preached a good word. Who was there? That was a good word right there. That was good. I was ministered to in that word. Good job. But I talked Friday night about where is your joy found? Where is your hope? Is your hope in your career? Is your hope in who you're dating? Is your joy in your financial situation? What in your life that all the enemy has to do is touch that and then you lose your joy? The Bible calls that an idol. It's pretty simple. Idolatry isn't necessarily that, you know, you're doing some santeria or, you know, that's not necessarily an idol. An idol is anything that is a source of your joy outside of Christ. I'm very joyful being with my kids. I love my family. But that's not what he's talking about. But if you don't get rich or you have some hard financial times, you fall into that depression. If you don't have a significant other or are you willing to sacrifice or allow your morals to bend just so you can have a significant other, the Bible calls that an idol. It's an idol. And he says here, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we did not love our lives even unto death. So there's literally nothing. There is no decision you can make that you can justify, no sinful decision you can make that you can justify. It's like, well, if I don't do that, then I'll have to live by myself. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how it works. If I act like a Christian, then they won't like me at work. Okay. If I go to church every week, you know, then it'll affect me financially. Mm-hmm. He'll break up with me if I don't have... Okay. Acts chapter 20. I say it's a good thing. I say thank you for deliverance, Jesus. Acts chapter 20. Paul, or the writer here, we know Luke wrote Acts, but he says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself." This is talking about Paul. "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace of God." He says, my life means nothing. I don't put a value in my life. I put a value in who Christ Jesus is. And if I lose anything in the natural, you know what? A person who gets to that place, and I'm not saying I'm there, but when the writer, when you get to that place, the enemy has nothing on you. There's nothing he can do to separate you. There's nothing. There's nothing, because your hope is in Christ. And the enemy can't come against Christ. And so if your hope, like the writers of Hebrews said, if your hope is anchored in the holy place, there's nothing the enemy can do to defeat you. The spirit and the flesh are opposed to one another. If you live your life desiring to please yourself or the flesh, you cannot live a life overcoming the enemy. And so that leads us to today's water baptism. Baptism is not just a sign. It's not symbolic on any level. There is a real work of grace in the waters of baptism. What it is it's a public statement that says, I am dying with Christ. This, I don't love my life even unto death. I'm dying with him. Everything that I count in this world is valuable, I die to it. But I don't stay underwater. Thank you, Jesus. I come up out of the grave just like Jesus did into this new life following God. He writes in Romans chapter 6, he says, "Don't you know all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. If we've been united with him in a death like his, we'll be united with him in a resurrection like his. Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Whoever dies is set free from sin. If we've died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him." Jesus conquered death, and now he invites you into his death and his resurrection. Some of you, you've been dealing with sin in your life. You don't have victory. You're not experiencing the overcoming life that Jesus has for you. I'm saying today is your day. I'm offering you today life. I'm offering you today that as you give your life to Christ, as you say today, I'm getting radical with the issues in my life this morning. I'm getting radical in a public way. I am deciding today. Today I am not going home the same way that I came. Come on. Come on, somebody. I've decided today that my life is going to change. I'm taking a bold, radical step for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet if you would. Hallelujah. Mikey, come. Hallelujah. 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 Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Today. 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 Offer you that power, the blood of the Lamb, to cover you and wash you clean of your sin. Listen, if you've not given your life to Christ, today is your day. Today is your day. Come on. Today is your day. Today is your day for new life. Today's your day to wipe away that screen of the fruit of witchcraft. Today's the day to get delivered and get free and enter into the joy of the Lord. Today's the day you get to turn from sin and toward Christ. Today's the day you get to come into that love that God has for you. Today's the day. Come on, tell your neighbor. Today's the day. Tell your neighbor. Today's the day. Tell your neighbor. Today is the day. Come on, give him a high five. Today's your day. Hallelujah. Come on. I feel life in this room right now. I feel discouragement coming off of some people right now. Come on. Repeat after me. No longer will I be depressed. No longer will I be sad. No longer will I be discouraged. Defeat is not mine. Hopelessness is not mine. I'm covered in the blood. I'm following Jesus, and I love his life. Give a shout to God. Listen, today, if you're ready to make that step, I want you to come forward right now. I don't want to do a big production. I want you to come and line up right now. We're getting ready to baptize today. I want you to come, line up. Today is your day. Today is your day. Come and line up right here. Give a shout. Come on. Come on, people. Come on. Come on. Today is your day. Up on you right now. You didn't come planning to get water baptized, but you're going to go home wet. We got shirts for you. We got clothes for you. Today is your day. Come on. Today's your day. Who else? I'm going to wait. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask your neighbor. Is that you? Come on. Ask your neighbor. Is that you? Ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. Are you ready to get wet with baptism?